till you get what you need, y'all. You got to give a lot just to get what you need sometimes, y'all.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Show.
Yeah, y'all know that was, that's Chuck Brown, R.I.P. Bustin' Loose, one of our historical figures, especially in the DMV, has passed away right after our show, not too long after our show. And we didn't get an opportunity, obviously, since we air on Tuesday, to give our proper respect to Chuck Brown. He will be missed in this area. He put Go-Go on the map. You even have people from up north.
He is Go-Go.
He is Go-Go. And honestly, even people from up north, we probably don't know a lot of Go-Go bands. Everybody knows Chuck.
Absolutely, man. Chuck Brown was a legend. He meant a lot to this area. He will deeply be missed. His condolence to his family and everyone and his loved ones. But speaking of Chuck Brown, you know, even with his untimely demise, there have been a lot of bootleg people trying to profit off of his death.
A word?
Yeah, Saturday I was in the barbershop.
Yeah, and this is Will speaking. I ain't really, we informally introduce ourselves. I'm Wally, Will, yep. Urban Sports Scene, Eyes Radio. Ray's not here, Al ain't here, but we're going to hold it down for him. But continue with your story.
Yeah,
man.
Saturday I was in the barbershop, real early, like 9:30 in the morning. This young lady comes in with a plastic bag, and she says, Chuck.
It's a barbershop, though, man.
Yeah, the barbershop.
It's a barbershop.
Yeah. And if you know what mine's is, then you know something like this is definitely bound to happen. A young lady comes in anyway with a clear bag, and she says, RIP Chuck Brown t-shirts, 1 for $10, 2 for $20.
Hustle everywhere, man. Everybody has a hustle.
And that's not even the worst one.
What about, go ahead. Please continue, please.
About 30 minutes later, this guy, middle-aged, probably had to be 35, something like that. He comes in with two handful of CDs. Now, these CDs were bundled like a group of five. He says, I have the great Chuck Brown Greatest Hits, volume 1 through 5. And the kicker is, they were burned CDs, and he just put Chuck Brown's Greatest Hits, volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on each CD.
How much?
$80.
Wow. We have to change as a society, people. I already know what Will's talking about. It's a barbershop. We're urban. We're black individuals. A barbershop. It fits the stereotype. We need to start having a hustle like that. We need to start doing it like that hard. We going to sell bootlegs. Let's sell bootlegs for what it is. It's a bootleg.
Yeah, man, I thought it was disgusting.
No, man, we see you saying like barbershop, you know, fried. I mean, barbershop.
Yeah, but I just think that was disgusting.
When you were younger, and you went to the barbershop Friday when it first came out was the bootleg hit sensation, though.
Yeah,
everybody knows that was the bootleg hit sensation. But let's get into it some more. But again, R.I.P. Chuck Brown, you will be missed. You brought a lot of our generation and the generation before us, a lot of pride and a lot of happiness.
Yeah, he was go-go music.
Yeah, so like I said, this is the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. You can check us out on the Eyes Radio website, www.eyesradio.com. Such shows on there as Chris and Kamish, us, and Clutch Radio, I believe, is the newest show. Please don't quote me. I'm sure I am wrong, but that is the newest show on the network. I'm sure I'm wrong. And also check out our homies on our homies Voice of the Fan Wednesdays 8 p.m. 8:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.thevoiceofthefan.com. And we're also syndicated on the internet radio station Real People Real Talk Radio. The site is managed by good friends from Apple G's. Make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com.
All right, now that we plugged everything, let's get into our traditional pre-games.
I'm busy eating this buffalo chicken salad. I'm out of breath. Anyway, like Will said, our traditional pre-game. OTA started for many NFL teams, especially down here in D.C. RG3 is a Redskin, his first OTA. Your thoughts of the importance of OTAs in general?
I don't really have many thoughts on OTAs. Once again, they say it's voluntary, but we know that
That'd be us.
Yeah, just like actually Kellen Winslow got traded. That's from the dirty. Bucks, just because he didn't want to partake in the voluntary OTAs.
Yeah,
because
the new coach.
Yeah, Greg Schiano. So,
and they got, what's his name? They're about to get Dallas Clark.
They signed him already.
They got him already?
Yeah, okay. They signed him already. But everyone in this area, they're expecting. All they want to hear about is Robert Griffin III. Big expectations. That's all anyone cares about during the Redskins OTA. So it'll be, you know, we'll see how it goes for him.
Big storyline is Santana Moss and Chris Cooley came in good shape. That's a storyline. You know, what's a subject discussion a lot of people have been saying since the acquisitions of the other wide receivers, and now it's Paul being moved to tight end. Though it's kind of iffy with Santana Moss and Chris Cooley, seeing if they're going to be Redskins next season. What do you think their roles are going to be if they are Redskins, or do you think they will be cut?
Only one of them is going to be a Redskin, and that's Santana Moss. I don't see Chris Cooley hanging on being a part of the roster. If you look at any Shanahan coach teams during his previous stint in Oakland and in Denver, he's never really been one to use two tight ends. But he has always wanted a very good slot wide receiver, which Santana Moss provides for them. So I don't see Chris Cooley stick. I see Chris Cooley probably getting cut sometime before they go to camp.
Well, this is not Shanahan's offense. This is Kyle Shanahan's offense, and he is historically one to use a two tight end set. He did a lot with the Texans, with Dreesen.
But Daddy got last final call over that roster.
I'm just telling you, like he said, he's according to Shanahan, his son runs the ship on offense. So I'm just saying, like with the Texans, Dreesen and I believe Owen Daniels were his two tight ends that he liked to run his sets out of. So he does like the two tight end set. My thing is that now as Paul has now changed his position to tight end, so that's going to be an interesting situation. I like Chris Cooley. He's more reliable, and if he's coming in good shape, Chris Cooley to me is the better option. It's a good option to have still be there. You can't say that you can rely, 100% on Davis due to the fact, you know, he's young, immature, and he loves a lot of bud. He loves bud, so. It's not a given. Now, for Santana Moss, the Redskins did bring a lot of wide receivers to the game. I mean, let's be real. They brought a lot of wide receivers to the offseason.
It's going to be it's going to be a lot of competition at the wide receiver
spot. Yeah, and already, you know, Hankerson is going to be a starting wide receiver. From what I heard, he's already up there in the depth chart. And then you got Garcon, so it's going to be Hankerson, Garcon. You just signed Morgan, so Morgan's going to be battling Santana, who is younger than Santana for the slot position. So it's interesting. It's going to be a real competition. I don't think Santana has the position, but I do think if Santana is truly motivated and came into camp in shape, which he didn't do last year, comes in shape and healthy with his ability, he's got the potential to beat out Morgan for the slot position. It's an ideal position for him.
We'll see. You know, we have a lot of time before training camp starts, so about a little bit over a month, no more than a month, so. We'll see how it goes.
All right, quick question. I mentioned Hankerson. If you don't know Hankerson, the last year's rookie from the U, had a couple good games before he got hurt. He's gonna miss OTAs and miss some of the voluntary camps. Do you think that's bad for him in terms of building that chemistry with RG3?
I think that it hurts him because last year he was a rookie and there wasn't any off season. So this year he finally has a full off season, go through OTAs, mandatory mini camps, and training camp. So he needs to develop that timing with Robert Griffin III, because Robert Griffin III is going to be the franchise quarterback, and they have big plans for Leonard Hankerson. So the sooner he can get out there, he could build a rapport with Robert Griffin III, the better off that you and your Redskins will be.
Yeah, I don't even argue with that, actually. I totally agree with you. I think it's
going
to...
And you shouldn't, because I'm right.
Well, not that you're right. I just don't... you usually have a lot of BS things they hate on my Redskins about. But I will give you credit when credit is due. That is an excellent in-depth analysis. You're giving them some excellent in-depth analysis on that subject. And there's no need for me to really go on into it. My Redskins will be okay. Hankerson's going to be a beast. Watch out for 85. He's going to be like that.
Mr.
Yeah, I
85.
Said it. Mr. 85. No, Ray's, 85%. Screw Ray. Yeah, 85, though. Last week, the Orioles took the series with the Nationals in the Beltway battle. What did you think of the series, and did it reach expectations in terms of people coming to the ballpark?
I think it was an exciting series. I didn't think that the Orioles would take two out of the three games.
I did.
Yeah, I know you did. But it was good. It was fun to watch on TV. I was expecting a sellout for all three games, but that didn't happen.
I mean, think about it. The Orioles and the Nationals on national TV.
Yeah.
It was on Fox.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
That's something we're not used to around here.
No.
Two winning teams in that close of a vicinity to each other. But maybe it's the start of something to come, you know. Maybe the Orioles consistently win. Everyone predicts that the Nationals will consistently be a contender just because of the way this team is built, with strong pitching, a lot of arms, and defense. So, you know, maybe it's the start of something exciting.
I think the Orioles showed not just the Nationals and many people who haven't seen the Orioles play up close and personal. They showed that, you know, they can too. They can pitch as well, and they have a deep bullpen. And they showed that, you know, they may be for real. I mean, I think a lot of times as Oriole fans, if you haven't been an Oriole fan, you've probably seen the Orioles' record at the end. But we've had good starts, and a lot of times during like the dog days of August and September, we've slumped and we've had big losing streaks. So a lot of fans like myself are still skeptical and saying, okay, well, when is that other shoe going to drop? You know what I mean? So as an Oriole fan, I'm still waiting. But this team is different to me because I feel like the young pitchers are stepping up, and now the young hitters are stepping up. We saw Markakis in Game One hit a game-winning home run in extra innings. You seen Adam Jones lead the way in the second game, hit a home run.
That's Adam Jones, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. And speaking of Adam Jones, right now he has 14 homers. All right, 14 homers. I think he's hitting close to 300. He's up there in the league in RBIs. Obviously, this is an all-star season for him. It's probably his second time being in the all-star team.
Absolutely.
All-star game.
Absolutely.
What do you have Adam Jones ranked in terms of center fielders in the game?
That's a good question. I think if you're going to...
Off this season alone.
He's definitely, if we're going off this season, he's definitely one of the top three center fielders right now in the game.
Yeah.
Then you add on to the fact that he's young. He's a young player. Defensively, he's very active.
Yeah.
Has a live bat this season. It's exciting to watch him play. You know, it's even more exciting. I'm proud of him because he's a friend of the show.
Yeah, I'm being real. I'm not gonna lie. Not because he's just a friend of the show, but to be honest with you, he's got to be the third best center fielder in the game right now this season. And I'm saying that offensive alone, because you got Kemp and Hamilton. That's 1A, 1B. Nobody else is playing other than that at center field at a high level like Adam Jones is. To me, in my opinion, you might have McCutchen. McCutchen isn't hitting 14 home runs and driving people in like Adam Jones.
He doesn't have the power.
He has seven home runs. He has a little power, but not like Adam having 14. You know what I mean? If I want to be even more real with it, Adam might be the best center fielder all around, because you're looking at a Gold Glove caliber center fielder who's also hitting. So it's scary. The kid is where Adam Jones can be in the next couple of years is scary. The Orioles need to lock him up now. And I know he has one more year after this season, and after that he's a free agent. The Orioles better lock him up now, because you look at his track record. We all into patterns, right? You're into patterns. I'm into patterns. He gets better every year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's the scary thing.
He gets better every year. Can stay healthy.
Yeah.
So if you're going to give a guy $100 million like the Nats did for Zimmerman.
And that's the scary thing. I don't know if the Orioles know that the Orioles waited so long now that they're close enough where they have to fork over $100 million to Adam Jones, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they still have to sign Wieters, who will be a free agent in a couple years too. So they still have to like kind of budget their money correctly for it. But let's move on to the Nats, the team that the Orioles whooped up on over the weekend. Nats are playing the Phillies. I think they're up 2-1, and they won last night. Do you think this is really? Do you think it's a rivalry? Do you think the Phillies think
of course
the Nats
not.
Are of a
no,
rivalry?
I don't think the Nats. This can't be a rivalry because if you think about rivalries, the two teams that are rivals, they play meaningful games. And to this point, the Nets and the Phillies haven't played a meaningful game. Maybe if it's coming down towards the, you know, chasing the pennant and both of these teams are tied for the league lead, maybe you can say it'll develop into a rivalry, but they have to consistently play meaningful games for this to be a rivalry. This is just a rivalry that Washington fans have created.
No, I agree with you. I don't think it's a rivalry. I think the Phillies don't think of the Nats that way. But I do think due to the fact that Hamill threw at Bryce Harper, it's even amplified. I mean, the Phillies, I think it's more on the fans' point of view because, you know, Philly fans have always mobbed Nats ballpark. They
take
own it.
Take back the park.
Yeah, exactly. So they had to come up with a whole campaign about take back the park and crap like that. So I don't think the Phillies think of the Nats as a rival. I think the Nats fans have some animosity towards the Phillies. It's like the Orioles. It's like the Orioles fans think of the Yankees as rivals, the fans, but they're really not. The Yankees don't think of the Orioles.
No, they sure don't.
You know what I mean? But they think about the Red Sox. Like, that's it. The Phillies think about probably the Braves and the Mets for a couple years, and that's it. The Marlins, every once in a while, it seems as if they're going to turn the corner. But it's usually the Braves and the Mets. Those are the two teams in the NL East that they actually think about.
Yeah, but going from baseball, let's jump into basketball. Last night, Stan Van Gundy and Otis Smith were released, let go, fired, given the kibosh by the Orlando Magic's management.
By the Orlando Magic?
Yeah.
By management?
Yeah.
No, you mean by Dwight Howard?
No, I mean by management.
By Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard has stated that never has he gone and said that he wanted Stan Van Gundy and Otis Smith gone.
Lying ass prick.
And never has Orlando Magic management ever given Dwight Howard that type of power.
You know what I think happened?
What happened?
I think Dwight Howard told management that, you know, before he signed that deal, he told management, all right, this is what has to happen. You had to get rid of Stan Otis at the end of the season. He told the owner at the end of the season, and I'll stay on that extra year. And whatever happens after that. And I think that's why. And this is only a theory.
Yeah, for us conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, it's a
theory. It sounds good.
It's a theory. And, you know, when the season was over, I think Stan knew already.
Oh, definitely.
Otis knew a little on the low, too, I think. I think Otis Smith knew on the low that he was going to be out.
Van Gundy signed his fate when he had that press conference and let everyone
know. He went hard. He did what he had to do.
No, he signed his fate when he let everyone know, took it outside the house.
He signed his fate when he told everybody how soft Dwight Howard was. You call it signing his fate. I call it like stepping up, dog. He stepped up. I looked at it as Stan Van Gundy said, dude, you trying to get me fired? Well, you gonna try to get me? I'm gonna get you, so everybody can know what kind of punk you are. That's how I look at it. You know what I mean? If somebody trying to get me, if somebody trying to get you fired on the low, and trying to be all sneaky with it off some Brutus Caesar type stuff, cut your, you know what I'm saying? Wait to stab you in the back. You do it. You say, all right, you try to get me. I'm gonna make sure I get you. I'm gonna make sure you feel this. You might get me, but I'm gonna make sure you feel this.
It was interesting in the comments that the Orlando Magic management made after they let go of Van Gundy. They didn't deny that Stan Van Gundy is probably one of the best strategists in the game. He had his team very well prepared, but they also alluded to. He kind of rubbed some of his players the wrong way. Some of the players, meaning Dwight Howard. I don't see personally, with just the way this team is constructed and going into a situation like that, I don't know what coach would want to go into it knowing that Dwight Howard potentially may have the power to get you fired if he decides to stay around.
Man, to me, I don't know. They don't have the collect. They don't have the money. They don't have the drawing pull. They don't have the trading leverage to even get a star player with Dwight. So if I was them, I'd trade Dwight. The only trading leverage you have is Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard can bring you a star.
Yeah, you're gonna have to trade Dwight Howard and also include Hedo's Turkoglu's terrible contract within that trade.
Yeah,
to get to work
and probably have to trade Jameel Nelson too.
Yeah. Got to blow it up, start all over again.
I would think the best thing for them to do, I mean, if I sound funny because I'm eating, the best thing to do is to do a three-team trade. That way you split them up because you don't want Jameer Nelson and Dwight Howard on the same team. If I'm Jameer Nelson, I'm stealing that dude as Adam's apple. And when I mean stealing, I mean punching him in his Adam's apple because he's not tall enough to do anything right now. Or maybe his abs or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, anyway, from the Heat, from the Orlando Magic.
That hot in my apartment? Come on, cuz.
Come on, man. It's a studio, man. It's the studio.
This is not a studio. This is an apartment. All right.
Well, from Orlando, we're going to drive down I-95 South. When we come back, we'll discuss the Heat and the Pacers, who will be facing off in game five?
Game five, yeah. Urban Sports Scene, Eyes Radio.
For ages.
You dig?
You can now hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Download it. It's free. Takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio, and don't forget to enter promo code Eyes Radio when you register.
Yeah, y'all heard that. That's Run Joe. You know, Chuck, we still doing that Chuck thing for y'all, man. Holla at us, you know. Urban Sports Team doing big things, knocking doors down. We love Chuck over here. We really do. But
he's an icon.
Yeah, exactly. You can listen to the show by visiting www.walio.podbeam.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. And like we already mentioned earlier, we're the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. And if you want to check out our podcast on Eyes Radio, check www.eyesradio.com. On Thursdays, we're on the Sports Crib Podcast Show, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is hosted by Doc Hancock and West Coast Stiller Fan. I didn't get the opportunity to be on the show last Thursday. Had a lot of other stuff I had to do. I had to get drunk, so I did that. But I will be back
at least you won
Thursday. Yeah, man, I'm being real. I told him I was out and about. Well, that means I was getting in. You know what I mean? I was getting Tiger Wings and Jaspers and Largo. And getting me some Darth Vaders.
I can respect that.
Yeah, respect the game. Respect the hustle.
All right, man. But like I alluded to before the break, Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers.
Love the series.
Actually, that game is about to start right now. The series is tied 2-2. Let's go back to game four.
Yeah, go back to game four. Let's
talk about game four a little bit. What did you think about LeBron and Wade's performance?
Man, that's a big start. That's a big player's due, man. Let me get to LeBron first. Because Dwayne Wade, that was needed, obviously. But understand this. This is what annoys me about people, about LeBron. People forget. They got short-term amnesia. LeBron has done this in Cleveland when he had to carry a team on his
he's
back.
He's done it with less.
With less talent. This is why he's the MVP. 40, 18, and 9. We don't really have to go into detail about it. 40, 18, and 9 shows how spectacular that young man is in playing ball. 40, 18, and 9. He willed his team to victory. He's the one who got D-Wade off. You know what I mean? D-Wade was struggling. He's the one that was finding D-Wade to get him opportunities to score and get into a rhythm. Eric Spoelstra finding something correct. He brought back LeBron Cleveland. Not LeBron Miami. He brought LeBron Cleveland. To Indiana for game four. They took care of business, and that's why LeBron is the MVP.
to me, that's the best of those two have played since they've been together. 40 for LeBron, 30 for D-Wade. Like I said, I think we had this discussion. I think it was off air. Yeah, but like I said, I think that in order for this team to go deep, they're going to have to – those two are going to have to score at least 65 points combined. If they get 65 points combined, then this team will have no problem making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But if these guys don't get 65 points combined and at least get 10 points from one other guy, this team's going to struggle, and they're going to struggle a lot.
Well, to me, they could. To me, points, it's not even about that to me. Like, they can – LeBron is – like, everybody thinks LeBron has to have a max that type of outcome performance again for this team to advance past Indiana. He doesn't really. He just needs to be the playmaker. You have to allow LeBron to do what LeBron does. Because you see, like, you run LeBron, for instance – Chris Bosh is gone. You can't run the pick and roll with Chris Bosh anymore because he's hurt. But you need to have a big who can run the pick and roll with LeBron and can hit that 18-foot jump shot. Udonis Haslem is perfect for that. That's why he played so well. You use a pick and roll with LeBron and you decide that, hey, I'm gonna show Haslem no respect. LeBron's gonna find Haslem for an open jump shot. All right, now Haslem's hitting that jump shot on a consistent basis. Now you're gonna you're gonna make sure you have a man on that pick and roll that switches to Haslem switches to Haslem on a switches to Haslem whatever. And LeBron has an opportunity to drive to the basket for a bucket because they can't make that rotation. You know what I mean? Or if they rotate somebody else on Haslem, LeBron will find an open guy in the corner for a three. You gotta make LeBron. You gotta let LeBron be the playmaker, the Magic Johnson of the freaking Miami Heat.
Hey, it's the best of those two guys played together, to me, like in a half court set.
Yeah, that was the best
all season. Usually, when you think of LeBron and D Wade, they're getting up the floor, throwing alley oops, making long outlet passes to each other.
Yeah.
But in the half court set, that's the best I've seen these two guys play because they actually played off of each other during game four. So, you know, we'll see how game five goes. They're warming up now. Game five should be starting next 10 to 15 minutes.
Real quick, what's up with Danny Granger always going at LeBron? I'm trying to figure that out. Like, he has to.
I don't know. LeBron called him out for it today. He said that his tactics trying to instigate a fight are annoying.
Yeah,
as you know, he doesn't understand why.
Do you think he's trying to instigate a fight with LeBron to get LeBron and him fighting so they both can be suspended and his team has a better chance to win? I'm just trying to figure it out.
No, I think it's more of he's trying to punk LeBron. He thinks that if he's physical with LeBron, LeBron will back down. He doesn't think maybe necessarily LeBron is mentally tough.
But Danny Granger is known to be soft himself on the low.
Yeah, but, you know, he's hoping that he can get him out of his game. You know, he's got LeBron throwing elbows and on two different occasions. Oh, you saw that one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one would have – that if that had connected.
But it was a fake one. It wasn't even like a real elbow like he was trying to hit him, though. It was like, just get off of me.
Yeah.
You know?
But speaking of fights, September 15th.
Yeah.
You know, me and you, we're both huge fight fans.
Yes, we are, sir.
It was just announced that Saul Canelo Alvarez will be fighting Paul Williams September 15th in Vegas. I think it'll be a pay-per-view fight. It'll definitely be a step up in competition for Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see him take this step and take this next step up in competition because, to be honest with you, we all know that Mosley was a shot fighter when he faced him May 5th. So this is definitely – he's going against a guy who's younger, far more active, has a longer reach. So it'll be exciting, man.
Yeah, you're happy for Canelo Alvarez, and I am. I'm very impressed with that kid. I think that kid is special. But I'm more excited to Paul Williams. I think this is an opportunity to get back in the game. I think if he can shock the world and beat Canelo Alvarez, because we all have an idea that Canelo Alvarez will be favored in this fight. But Paul Williams can shock the world and beat him. I think he'll get his opportunity, what he really wants. He wants a rematch with Martinez down the road. So he'll get that if he can find a way to shock the world and beat Alvarez. People forget, man, Paul Williams beat Martinez.
He beat Sergio Martinez.
Yeah, he beat Sergio Martinez.
And Antonio Margarito.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who definitely has his chops in the game, and it's just that over this past couple of fights against Edison, Edison Lara, the fight that the judges gave him, the gift that he got, and his other subsequent fight, he hasn't looked that good. But September 15th is a chance for him to bounce back. But anyway, let's get back to the to this Heat Pacers series. Did Eric Spoelstra outcoach Vogel?
Yeah, I think so. I think Eric Spoelstra definitely outcoached Vogel. Vogel's a better coach than Eric Spoelstra. You heard me, you've always heard me saying that Eric Spoelstra is a horrible coach, and I won't back off of it. He's a horrible coach. He sucks. He's terrible. Finally, he decided to run
harsh
some sets.
Word.
He finally decided to run some sets, or maybe LeBron made him run sets, or I don't know. Maybe that yelling with D-Wade, maybe D-Wade said, okay, coach, you suck, and it's time to run some sets. Go play some live, maybe find some live sets. I don't know. Some video game sets, and he finally did it. Some off the ball motion, but yeah, he outcoached him. I think Vogel was being too loyal at its, in that point in time. Darren Collison was killing, man, and he decided to stay with. He decided to bench Darren Collison and go with Hill. When Darren Collison had, they had no answer for Darren Collison.
That's a mistake. I think that a lot of coaches make in the playoffs. They try to stay true to their rotation rather than feeding the hot hand, the guy who's playing best. And that could be the difference between winning or losing the series, that one game right there. And especially in a series this tightly contested.
Yeah.
And especially when the Miami has home court advantage.
I mean, you have an opportunity to beat the Miami Heat. Period. You have an opportunity to go 3-1 and going into Miami where they knew that when they truly, that means they truly had all the pressure on them. All of the pressure on them. Thinking they would have to win in South Beach to make it 3-2. Now it's a 2-2 series, and you played around and decided, okay, I'm gonna go with George Hill over Darren Collison, a Darren Collison who last year played well in the postseason for you, and you decided to bench because he got hurt, and then George Hill played well during that point in the season, but Darren Collison was playing excellent basketball, and also you waited way too long to put back in Roy Hibbert and West.
Yeah, that's the key. Foul trouble. Those two guys right there are the key. Yeah. Your length advantage. Those two guys. And Roy Hibbert, 7'2". David West,
like
6'9", 6'10". Nobody on the Miami Heat can match up with those two guys. So you have to, if you're the Indiana Pacers, you have to run your offense from the inside.
And that's out. It. And that's the main thing. They have to. They have an advantage. A stone cold advantage. Roy Hibbert, David West. There's no need to play with Danny Granger or Paul George, who I do like, but you have the advantage. It's inside. Like, bully it inside as long as you can. Like, you're on the road, especially being on the road. Going inside is the best neutralizer on a team that needs to run at home that's going to use their fans as momentum.
All right, but enough with the past. Let's talk about the present.
Woo!
And the future.
Transition galore.
Game 5 tonight. Who you got?
I got Miami. I think Miami has momentum. I think LeBron has tasted what he can do in this series. I think Eric Spoelstra has seen what the best way to utilize LeBron and D-Wade together and to have court set with some motion. I think having D-Wade off the ball, doing some things on the weak side, cutting to the basket, using the Dallas Haslam again. I think he found something. I think, Indiana's goal is to take away LeBron and D-Wade and let the other guys beat him. And I think, with the stepping, with Haslam stepping up, I think that's going to pose a problem for the Pacers.
I agree with you. I think that the Heat definitely get this game. I think when they go back to Indiana, the Pacers will take game 6 and will be a game 7. And I think that the Heat will ultimately pull it out 7 games over the Indiana Pacers, man. But
Let's take a break real quick. When we get back, we're going to talk about last night's big game with OKC knocking off the Lakers, the historical Lakers squad, I guess. Urban Sports Scene, Eyes Radio.
For ages.
You dig?
The Eyes Radio Network is one of the fastest-growing sports networks in the Washington, D.C. area, with great shows like Chris and the Commish and the Urban Sports Scene, plus media and athlete interviews and other content you will get all the great sports coverage for the DMV and whatever's happening around the nation. Eyes Radio is built on listening on your time, whether it's listening to one of our shows live, downloading from iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app, or just on the website. We make it easy for you to listen to us when you want. Always let people know that you're listening to your favorite show on www.eyesradio.com. That's www.eyesradio.com. And follow us on Twitter at Eyes Radio.
Don't mean a thing if it ain't got that go-go swing.
Go ahead, Will, break it.
I said doo-wop, 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 doo-wop. Ah! All right, man, we're back from commercial break. That was my Chuck Brown impression. It was terrible, but, you know.
Nah, man, it was cool, man. It was cool, man.
It is what it is at this point. More NBA, Lakers and Thunder. Last night, the Thunder closed out a five-game series against the Lakers.
Beautiful.
A lot of people didn't. I actually thought that Thunder would sweep the Lakers.
Me too. I thought they would sweep them. Great one game they won.
Yeah. To me, them closing out yesterday shows that this young, even though they're a young team, they have a sense of urgency. They know that the Spurs are awaiting them in the Western Conference Finals, so they went out and they played with a high level of energy and a sense of urgency that says, "Hey, let's finish this in five. Let's not make it six. Let's go. Let's close it out today. Get our bodies rested, cause this Saturday, starting Saturday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday is it?
Excuse me. I'm wrong sometimes.
I got you. No.
I never claim to be 85%.
We're a team. Dog. Yeah. I got your back.
The series starts between OKC and the Spurs, yeah, which a lot of people think is actually the NBA Finals.
I don't think
because
so.
Because they're the two best teams, but
We have a
while to talk about the Spurs and the Thunder.
That's true.
We're gonna concentrate on last night, what happened last night between the Lakers and the Thunder.
But I mean, to me, you know, it definitely was a good series. It was a showcase of Westbrook and Durant. I actually thought, you know, Westbrook outplayed. I mean, I say outplayed, but Westbrook was a star in that series to me. They had really no answer for him. They had no answer for Durant too. Don't get it twisted, but Westbrook, they kept putting Steve Blake on him. That was embarrassing. Yesterday, Sessions was basically Westbrook's jail youngin. It was crazy, man.
Bend over.
Yeah, don't drop the soap, homie, because that's how you were.
Nah, it's interesting. It just goes to show you that a lot of people, you know, even though Kevin Durant, KD is like 6'11", can handle the ball like a guard, can shoot the three, can score from just about anywhere on the floor, and is a matchup problem, it just goes to show you just how much Russell Westbrook is a matchup problem also.
Oh,
for any point guard, if you try to put a bigger two guard on him, he'll blow right past him. If you put a smaller point guard on him, he'll put him in the post and he'll take advantage of him.
Yeah.
If he can consistently knock down that 15 to 18 foot jumper consistently against the Spurs, I hate to say it, but that's a series that can go five games, six at the most.
Yeah, I mean,
OKC's way.
When you look at that team, it's like, it's crazy. Like, when I look at Westbrook, got a little distracted by this game. It's 3-3 Indiana, 3-3 Miami, Indiana tied. Westbrook's J is better, man. It's like consistent. His mid-range J is better. He can make J's in tough angles. He's just really playing at a high level right now, like an extreme high level. KD is an unguardable guy. He's 6'11", can shoot over anybody. You're usually gonna try to put a guard on him because the guard is quick enough to be around him. But he can shoot right over a guard. He can get by a guard too. But you don't usually want to put a slower guy on him. The guy's gifted, but Westbrook is a gifted individual himself.
Yeah, you know how I always say that Carmelo is the best offensive player in the league.
Yeah,
I think by the time this postseason over, KD would definitely be the best offensive player.
You know, I've been flip flopping like John Curry, I'm back on Melo after what I saw against Miami, like how nobody could really check him. Like, this is how I break it down. Like, if KD's J is off, which doesn't, I'm saying it doesn't happen often, but if it's off, he's off. But Melo is so many ways he can score. He could take you inside. He can take you inside, play bully ball. He can, and if it's that inside game doesn't work, he can take you outside. He can drive. It is so much he can do. But KD, don't get wrong, it's like, to me, it's 1A, 1B, but I'm still, like, on the side of Melo. Still on the side of Melo.
All right. Well, with the Lakers losing, Kobe Bryant had comments, post-game comments. Wally, let the people hear what he had to say.
I'm not fading into the shadows, if that's what you're asking.
I mean, even as just
I'm not going anywhere.
The entire team.
Not going anywhere. It's not one of those things where, like, the Wolves beat the Pistons and the Pistons disappear forever.
Yeah, that was funny. Detroit Pistons, though, yeah? Detroit Pistons?
Yeah,
we're not going to fade away like Detroit against the Bulls?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Kobe, just the way this team is constantly put together, is now put together now, excuse me, you may just fade away like the Detroit Pistons. you're going to have to make some changes, big changes. One of those seven-footers has
to go. Gots to go.
To be honest with you, if I had to choose between the two of them, I would probably, and a lot of people aren't going to agree with this, but
so
I would
Andrew
probably
Bynum?
Get rid of Bynum. Bynum will probably bring you back the most value, for one. And for two, Andrew, even though he was an all-star this year, to me, Andrew Bynum hasn't shown the mental toughness or the that he's a true professional and is the guy that you want to build your team around for the future. So having said that, there's only one guy you could possibly trade him for, Dwight Howard. You have to put a package together to possibly woo Orlando into taking back Andrew Bynum and some other pieces for Dwight Howard, because Dwight Howard is a guy that once Kobe leaves, you could put pieces around and there won't be a fall off.
Yeah.
The Lakers will still be able to compete for a championship, but if you try to do that with Bynum, he just isn't mentally tough enough. He doesn't have, I'm not going to say mentally tough, he doesn't have the focus.
He's not mature enough.
Yeah, he's not mature enough. He doesn't have the focus to put this team on his back and continue that the Laker legacy, per se.
No, I mean, I agree to a point that he's not mature enough. I like your point stating that he's not, he hasn't shown a maturity level in that regard, you know, in that regard, and he has the more value than Pau Gasol, that you can get more in return. Well, I would still try to trade Pau Gasol before I would trade Bynum, but I'm a realist. You know, you go what can bring you value.
Let's be clear. The only way I get rid of Bynum is if I can get Dwight Howard in return.
Yeah.
That's the only way I get rid of him. But Pau Gasol, I would trade him for some younger pieces, a more athletic three, a
he's
point
not gonna
guard.
Get far in return for no Pau Gasol.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
You're not, yeah, but you'll definitely get some. You'll get more complimentary pieces.
Yeah, you can.
That you could build this team around. Like say if the Lakers were to go through with the trade with Houston, possibly trading Pau Gasol, getting back a guy like Chase Budinger, and Kyle Lowry.
I don't think they would trade Kyle Lowry now at this point in time. For him, no. I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. At this point in time.
Well, you never know.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Yeah, just to me, it just seems like that Houston team, they are they're thirsty for a star player.
Yeah, they are.
Just because the way that team is built up, the way that team is constructed.
But when are they going to trade their post player? They're going to trade the dude. What's his name? The one that looks funny from Argentina. With the hair.
Scola.
They're going to trade him in that deal.
Like I said, I'm just throwing it out there. Ultimately, to me, a guy who would probably be that the Lakers would be a good fit for the Lakers, and a lot of people probably aren't going to agree with me, they should probably try to trade Pau Gasol for Brandon Jennings.
I'm gonna tell you. Oh, that's not bad. That's not. But they won't work. They won't take that though.
Yeah, I don't think they'll take it.
Milwaukee won't take it.
Yeah, I don't think they would. Yeah. But a guy like Brandon Jennings would definitely be a good addition.
If Brandon Jennings is threatening that he's gonna leave, then that's a question. That's a different thing. Because
he's an LA boy.
Yeah, he's an LA boy. If he's threatening to leave, that's a different thing. Actually, you know, people, Lakers fans are gonna hate me, and I'll go back to being a Lakers fan if they did this. They should trade Kobe Bryant for Carmelo Anthony and see how that goes down. And I would be back in L.A. You heard it here first, man. Mitch trade Kobe Bryant for Carmelo Anthony, and you will have an extra Laker fan back. Because the Lakers fans will get over if you trade Kobe. Believe me, they'll get over it.
No, they won't.
They will. They got over Shaq. They'll get you over Kobe because they used to hate Kobe for that crap. They'll get over it. Bring Melo to L.A.
Nah, my Knicks won't let that happen. My Knicks will not let that happen.
Your Knicks will probably want Kobe. He fits your whole.
Not at this point.
He fits the New Yorker.
You funny. All right, man. But let's move on from the Lakers and Thunder. Let's talk about the Spurs.
You said the Fakers?
The Lakers.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were
Lakers and Thunder.
They are the Fakers.
Let's go to the Spurs. This team is 8-0 in the playoffs. They've looked like they've ran through both of their opponents the first two rounds.
Yeah.
They look like the perennial champion.
And they look boring, too.
No, this team is a little bit more – it's actually a little bit easier on the eyes.
I'm going to be real with you, man. The NBA don't want the Spurs in the finals.
No, I totally agree with you. The NBA, David Stern does not want – if David Stern had his choice, he would want the Thunder versus the Heat.
Man, it's like
– that's what everybody wants to
see. It's like that Michael Jordan commercial, man. When the dude's in the package at the end, he was like, Michael Jordan, and it's the white guy. Some white guy. It's not Michael Jordan, though.
Yeah, I know the ESPN commercial.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying.
It's like that. It's like that commercial. Yeah. Nobody wants the Spurs in the finals. Everybody wants to watch the finals, but they're like, okay, it's going to be Miami and OKC. That's what you want to see. And then all of a sudden, Miami, OKC, then the Spurs at your door, and you're like, oh, come over here. I'll watch for a little bit. Then I'm done.
Nah, I think this Spurs team is a little bit more easier on the eyes than the previous Spurs team that's won championship. Yeah, they pushed the tempo a little bit more.
It's the Spurs, man.
Yeah, but they pushed the tempo a little bit
Spurs,
more. They have some younger players.
I love Tim Duncan, y'all. He's one of my favorite players of all time. But it's the Spurs.
It's not a lot of glitz and glamour with the Spurs. We all know that. There aren't any of the big superstar personalities. But, you know, the Thunder, they have to get past the Thunder in order to make it to the finals.
That's true. But I'm just being all negative. Why do you think the Spurs are so dominant? What's the reason? Like, they're so like how they dominate this playoffs?
I think, for one, Popovich had a great idea by resting Tony Parker, Duncan, and Ginobili during the season, not letting those guys play in back-to-back games. Two, the young role players are buying into it.
Yeah,
they buy into the system. And three, their GM actually made very good pickups in picking up guys that fit their system and who buy into their role. And defensively, this team, they defend very well, and they're one of the very few teams that actually run sets.
Yeah.
A lot of teams don't do that in the NBA.
Like, it's funny how the older teams are. Boston, San Antonio's not one of the oldest teams ever, but they have older players. Boston and San Antonio, two well-coached teams who run sets.
Yeah, they run sets, which is rare in the NBA.
Crazy,
most teams
right?
just run isolation, like now with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, which is crazy. Who would have thunk in a playoff setting, sets are where it's at. Because, you know, in half court, you do need in the playoffs.
Oh, that was
half
a terrible
court's where
pass.
It's at. Yeah, Will's watching this game. Did he just double? He did double. Dwayne Wade doubled when he didn't call it. You know what I mean? It's terrible.
The fix is on.
Yeah, his floater. But what were we talking about again? Got distracted real quick.
Running sets.
Yeah, sets. Yeah, yeah. Back on sets. Yeah. In the playoffs, you gotta be in the half court. That means you have to execute sets. San Antonio does it. Boston does it. That's why these teams are successful in these playoffs of late. I mean, you know, it looks like Boston's on the verge of being in the Eastern Conference Finals, and San Antonio is already in the Western Conference Final playing OKC, which we have already said a number of times. So, like, that is something that, you know, that's something you don't see with the other teams, though. Like Miami, that's why they're struggling with the Pacers, because they don't run offensive sets. The 76ers are struggling with Boston because they're really a fast break team. Their offensive sets are kind of iffy with Doug Collins, who is a good coach. I'm not knocking Doug Collins.
Yeah, Doug's a very good coach.
But the sets aren't as good as
Philadelphia is struggling just because they do run sets, but they don't have that one guy who will take
I'll take that. Though I think Wisdom is trying to be that guy, Evan Turner. If you watch the game, Evan Turner is trying to be that guy.
He needs to get in better shape, though.
Yeah, he is kind of flagged. But I'm happy that he's getting the opportunity to try to be that guy. I was kind of pissed off how Collins was using him at first. But so let's go back to the Spurs. I feel like this team is disrespected, honestly. They got the best record in the league. You see, so I think the tie with the Bulls are the best record in the league. But you know, in the playoffs, they do have the best record. They have the team with the best record in the league. Anytime you hear it, you hear it about how Miami and OKC are the teams that are going to meet in the finals. You don't hear about San Antonio as much. Of late, you're probably hearing them a little bit, but we're talking about a team with the best record in the league. Why are the Spurs so disrespected, man?
Because of their style of play. Two, they don't have any guys that superstar. Now, don't get me wrong. Tim Duncan is a superstar.
He's a freaking legend.
Yeah, but he doesn't have that flash about him, that flash personality.
All
he's
Tim
a guy
Duncan
who just,
does is get buckets. He stays.
Yeah, he just plays the game
you
the
see
way it's
Tim
supposed
Duncan
to be played.
Gym.
Yeah, I think those are the major two reasons. Plus, they play in San Antonio, which is a very small market.
Yeah, I have a theory on why they get disrespected. I think fans and the media know that San Antonio is that good. I think they do know honestly that they are the best team in basketball. The best team in basketball. I think it's denial. They don't want San Antonio in the finals, so they try to exclude them in conversations. It's like if you don't mention it, it won't happen. You get what I'm saying? Like if you don't mention San Antonio being in the finals, it won't happen. So I feel like that's how the fans and everybody, because we've seen San Antonio in the finals before. It has been it's been a boring final, you know. In their championships, it's been boring. You know?
Absolutely.
But they've done their job. Your goal is to win the game. Don't get wrong. Like that's what I'm saying. Like San Antonio Pop, they do their job. Fans in San Antonio are happy that they've won championships and they probably enjoy the finals. The fans in San Antonio, I'm sure they enjoy the finals. But everybody outside of San Antonio. The reason to me why people don't acknowledge that they're going to probably – really, people should acknowledge that they're going to win the championship. It shouldn't even be acknowledged that this is the championship. This is the finals between OKC and San Antonio. It should be acknowledged that San Antonio will probably be the ones that win the championship. But have you heard anybody go as bold as say that San Antonio will win the championship?
No.
Because they don't even want them in the finals.
Yeah, well, enough about us going back and forth about the Spurs and – the conspiracy theories. Let's go hard in the paint.
Nah, man, Tim Duncan. I got Tim Duncan Stella right here. It's a good one. You gotta look at it. Don't diss Tim Duncan, Will.
I'm sorry, man.
You can't be dissing Timmy D.
All right, man.
I ain't dropping the music right now, man. All right. Real
quick. Hold off on the music.
Hey, thank you, sir. Thank you, man.
Tim has four rings.
Yeah.
He's probably the greatest power forward to ever play the game.
Yes, sir.
Do you feel that he's the most disrespected soon to be legend?
Since I formed this question. Obviously, I was pressed. That's why I mentioned it, because I remember this question, because I put it on the outline. Yes, Dale, yeah, Tim Duncan's most disrespected legend to ever play in this game to me. We talk about Tim. We talk about Kobe Bryant, right?
Mm-hmm.
A guy that in three of his championships, he played Robin. You know what I mean? And people mention him as one of the greats ever. How come Tim Duncan never gets that same discussion? It's always Tim Duncan may be possibly the best power forward, but how come Tim Duncan's not in that list of being probably known as one of the best players? Period.
One,
I've seen
his
Tim
personality.
Duncan. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
One is his personality.
Yeah.
Two, his game isn't the type of game that he plays above the rim, so there isn't a lot of flash. And three, he plays in San Antonio, a very small market that doesn't get a lot of press.
That's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate, but anyone who has seen him play knows that he's one of the best power forwards to ever play the game.
To me, it's not even. I think people acknowledge he's probably that good as a power forward. My problem is when I watch, like, for instance, when that Lakers team had Kobe and Shaq, Tony Parker wasn't even as good as, you know, as he is now. Tim Duncan used to embarrass the Lakers. Like, he used to go to work. Like, Tim Duncan used to go to work on Kobe and Shaq, and he would be the one that would help lead that team past the Lakers and win a championship. When they knocked off the Lakers, it would be Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan used to hold that team down. And that's what amazes me, that he should get more respect. That's all. I'm a little pissed. He should get more respect.
He should, but, you know, only time will tell. You know, maybe if he gets this fifth ring, he'll get the respect that
that's,
you
I'm
think
about
he
four
deserves.
Rings. That's four rings. Five would be four, and then five.
Yeah.
After this, then what? Yeah. Then what? You know, Kobe has what? Kobe has five. He has four.
He has four.
He has five. Is he better than Kobe?
Yeah.
That's the question.
good question, though.
Yeah.
All right, man. Now drop the music.
Yes.
You go, Flocka.
You can go first.
Hard in the paint.
We're doing it for OKC.
Listen.
We're doing it for OKC the Spurs. All you got to do is between this game, between the OKC and the Spurs. That's all. It's only between these two. That game. That's all we're doing. Hard in the paint for that game. For that series. Excuse me. For that series.
Well, then I got to go. It's only one guy I can go with that's going to go hard in the paint.
Don't be all easy. And get like
all right, I'm not. Okay, then. Well, I won't go easy. I'll get another up-and-comer. I'll go with Tiago Splitter.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, Tiago Splitter, young player from Europe. He's during the playoffs, he's starting to develop and to be more of a force offensively and a little bit on the defensive end for the Spurs. So I'm going with Tiago Splitter.
Where am I from, man?
Nigeria.
What continent is that?
Africa.
I'm going with Serge Ibaka. All right, we keep it in-house. You know what I mean? We keep it in-house. I see when they have Kevin, when Russell Westbrook or Kevin Durant will have the ball, they'll get double teamed on a pick and roll. Even Serge Ibaka, when he sets that screen, he'll roll and shoot that or step out, shoot that J, which he's perfected nowadays. Serge Ibaka's going hard in the paint. He's gonna average over 10 points in this series. Probably give you about 10 boards and have about average 2 to 3 shot blocks in this series, leading the OKC Thunder to the NBA Finals, making that step with like all young teams need to do.
He's definitely going to be key against his matchup against Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
But OKC, they do have enough bodies to throw at Tim Duncan with not only Serge, but Kendrick Perkins.
Tim Duncan will kill Kendrick Perkins. I hope
and
you know
Nick Collison.
Real
and
quick.
And Nazi Muhammad.
Real quick. Tim Duncan will eat Kendrick Perkins alive only because Kendrick Perkins isn't the type of defender. Because he can't jump to bother Tim Duncan. And Tim Duncan's too skilled. He's still skilled.
Yeah. The big fundamentals is what they call it.
Yeah, exactly.
But this brings us to the end of another show, man.
Great show, Will T. Great show.
Show 106 right here.
Yeah, 106. We did a great job, I think. We're still missing our comrades and Ray and Al, but they'll be back eventually down the road. We can give you a little bit of insight in this game. Not insight, but I can briefly tell you about this game. What's the score of this game? I think it's
13-19.
Yeah, Miami's up. So,
and
yeah.
I stated one of the keys for Miami would be getting a third player to score more than 10 points. Shane Battier is 3-for-3 from the three-point line now, so he has 9 points in the first quarter.
This fool should score. He's getting wide open threes. LeBron James just hit a Magic Johnson hook shot. I'm proud of him. Magic.
Off of isolation.
Exactly.
Go figure.
Hey, it's a triple threat. It's okay. I'll take that.
Yeah. It scores 21-13. 3 minutes and 21 seconds left in the first quarter.
Oh, Danny
Green
is on fire.
He's playing with like a man with an attitude. He has
that was a
purpose.
Bad shot, and he made it. Lucky he made that shot. Actually, it was a terrible shot.
But once again, show 106. It's been fun.
Yeah.
RIP Chuck Brown.
And RP Chuck Brown, and let me give y'all our information. Check us out again on the Eyes Radio Network. That's www.eyesradio.com. To listen to our show on our website, visit www.walio.podbeam.com. LeBron James going ham. If you're watching this, I mean, yeah, we're watching live here right now. It's about 8:30, but we're watching live our time. Anyway, we're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. And I know I didn't mention this earlier, but on Sundays, we're on the Apple G's radio show on Sunday on 9 p.m. Eastern time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Coach Rodney and the lovely Vivian.
All right, man, that's it.
Yeah, man. It's it. And like Bill said earlier, RIP Chuck Brown. I'm going to say it myself. This has been a fun show as always. Catch us up. Keep hitting us up, man, on Twitter. Please keep hitting us up. Also,
we need the love. Give us the love, people.
Yeah, give us some love. And also, Eyes Rails revamping. Any, if y'all have any suggestions, hit us up on our email address, which we mentioned earlier. And I'll say it again. It's urbansports@eyesradio.com. So hit us up. We love y'all, man. Peace, love, and soul.
Deuces, bitches.